Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. Hebrews 11 verse 6 declares, quote, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." How much of your life are you truly living by faith? Anything that you do in your life conscious of Jesus is an act of faith, whether it be prayer, reading your Bible, listening to these teachings, or giving of your time, talents, and money to the work of the gospel. Let's open our Bible now that we might learn how to be more pleasing to Jesus Christ our Lord by walking in faith.
Well, good morning and welcome to another teaching. It's an early Tuesday morning here in Texas, and it's just a good morning to be spending time with Jesus, and just having fellowship with Jesus. A good morning to be in the scriptures, to be in the Word of God. We just came back from our Kingdom Discipleship Bible study that we do. We do it every Tuesday morning at 6:30 in the morning, and the Kingdom D guys come, and we just have fellowship, and we study the Word of God. We are studying Hebrews 11 today, which we're going to talk about. I don't know how far I'll get, but maybe verses 1 through 6. We're going to talk about living by faith. What does it mean to live by faith? That in this life, we're called to live our lives by faith. When we leave this life, we will not live by faith. When we leave this life, for those in Jesus Christ, for those who are trusting in Jesus, relying on Jesus, literally clinging to Jesus alone, for the forgiveness of their sins, the salvation of their soul, deliverance from eternal hell, and to go to heaven when they die, they will go to heaven to be with Jesus. They will see him face to face. Now, everything we do by faith, believing that that's true, believing that the Bible is true, believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the Son of God, God Almighty, God the Son. And no longer will we live by faith. Once we leave this life, the time of living by faith has ended. Now, that's also true for those who have rejected Christ or who haven't received Christ. They will spend an eternity separated from Jesus, our Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit in hell. And that won't be by faith either. They will tangibly be conscious and aware of their rejection of Christ and living all eternity in torment. This is why we do what we do. This is why we talk about the gospel so much in these teachings. This is why we talk about the necessity of receiving Christ and trusting in him, and then ultimately living for him as Christians, because one day when we leave this life, every single human who ever existed will stand before Jesus, either at the judgment seat of Christ, where this is a judgment only for Christians, for those who had received Christ, those who had believed in Jesus, and they'll be rewarded. You didn't get to heaven by anything you did, but your reward in heaven, how you experience heaven, your position in heaven will be entirely based on how you lived your life in cooperation with the Holy Spirit, using your time, talents, and money in service to Christ. No one will have the same reward in heaven. And for those who rejected Jesus Christ, Revelation, 11 to 15, you will go before the great white throne judgment and stand before Jesus. You'll be judged by your deeds since you had rejected Christ. No one will be counted worthy, and they will be assigned a place in hell according to the level of evil they lived in. No more will it be by faith at this time. No one has the same reward in heaven. No one has the same punishment in hell. And so faith is essential. We're saved by grace through faith. Faith, believing that Jesus is who he says he is. We believe it by faith. By faith means that we don't see it. We can't see it with our natural eyes, hear it with our natural ears, right? It's not tangible to our physical senses. We have to take Jesus at his word, right? I remember old Adrian Rogers, you know, just an extremely gifted preacher, used to say, faith is taking God at his word, meaning believing the scriptures. So, Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. We thank you for your love. Father, we thank you that we have this Bible. We thank you that we have this manual to live our lives by, to learn what we're commanded to believe, and to learn how we're commanded to live. But above all, Father, we thank you for Jesus, our only Lord and Savior and Master and King. Lord Jesus, we thank you for becoming a human man for us. We thank you for living a perfect, righteous life on our behalf that we could never live. We thank you for dying a torturous death on our behalf that we deserve to die. And we thank you that you're alive and risen, and we worship you today. Holy Spirit, we ask you to lead us and guide us now as we open your word. We ask that you give us eyes that see, ears that hear, and hearts to understand. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, so we're in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to start in verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So I'll read that again. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Anything that you do in your life, conscious of Jesus, conscious of the scriptures, conscious of the word of God and the Son of God, you're doing by faith. The guys came to Bible study this morning by faith, believing that when the scripture says we're to come together and have fellowship and community, and that Jesus is pleased with that, it'll help us to grow to know him better. It'll encourage one another in our devotion and faith to Jesus. They did that. They didn't see Jesus tell them. They didn't watch an episode on TV where they saw Jesus Christ appear. Jesus didn't appear to them in their house and tell them to go to Bible study. They had to believe by faith that the scripture told us to come together and to study the scriptures, and they obeyed that by faith. Again, when you get up today, and if you get down on your knees and pray, or whether you're on your knees or not, I've said many times, you ought to be, if you're able, getting down on your knees and praying, you know, at least once a day. It's just a good process to humble yourself and get down on your knees in a posture of submission before Jesus. If you have young children, you should absolutely do this with them at least once a day, perhaps before, you know, they go to bed at night. It's just good for young children. It's not good. It's very good for young children to get down on their knees with Jesus, with their parents, and for them to see you doing this. It will leave an impression. But when you pray at all to Jesus, you're doing that by faith that he hears you. You're doing that by faith that he's pleased with that. You're doing it by faith, believing that what the Bible says that we are to pray is true, and Jesus is pleased with it. Now faith, Hebrews 11:1, is being sure of what we hope for, meaning you do hope that, you know, you have hope that when you leave this life, that you'll be forgiven of your sin, that there is a heaven, that this whole thing is real, that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you're sure of that, right? You know it to be true, and you can tell you're sure of it by the way you live your life. You can tell you're sure of it by the fact that you're consistently listening to these teachings, right? You listen to this teaching by faith, that the Bible is true, that Jesus is true, that heaven is true, and that all that we're doing here in trying to grow to know Jesus and love him more is true and right and proper because it says it in our Bible. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Again, you don't see God with your natural eyes. You don't see Jesus. The apostles had the incredible privilege, or those living in the first century got to see Jesus for 3.5 years walked the earth. They actually got to see the Messiah with their natural ears. But we're even more blessed, right? You know, and this is incredible. Turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And look what Jesus says to Thomas. John chapter 20. And I'll start reading in verse 26. John 20, 26. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." 27. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Verse 28. Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." 29. Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Do you see that? Verse 29, John 20, then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." There's even a greater blessing in walking with Jesus without having seen him physically, because you're having to do it by faith and you're rewarded for your faith. It's incredible, right? As again, we're going to read in verse 6 and back in Hebrews. But to see what happened again in John 20, look at 24 and 25. John 20. "Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.'" 10 guys tell Jesus they've seen the resurrected Christ with their natural eyes. They've seen him. They've touched him. Look what Thomas says. Thomas is hurt. He's frustrated. You know, he's frustrated that Jesus was crucified, and he's stubborn. "We have seen the Lord," 10 disciples tell him, verse 25. Thomas said, "But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it.'" So again, he is bent. He's angry. Thomas is a great disciple of Jesus. He's a faithful disciple of Jesus. He loved him so much that he's so bent right now, he doesn't want to hear it from these 10 guys. "If Jesus can appear to you, he can appear to me." Now, this is disobedient. This is not okay. Thomas should have taken them at his word, as we have, right? One of those guys, John, wrote this gospel, wrote it down. Now, John was one of the 10 that saw Jesus here, and John wrote it down. But Thomas won't believe it. He's just stubborn in his unbelief. And so they're together again. Jesus does show up again and tells them, you know, Thomas says, you know, he's got to see all these things for himself unless Jesus said in verse 27, then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Now Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Again, verse 29, then Jesus told them, "Get this deep down in your spirit. Because you have seen me, you have believed." It's very easy to believe when you see Jesus. If Jesus appeared to you right now, you know, just appeared in your presence, which he could do, man, he's right there. It wouldn't be by faith anymore. You know, people often wonder why Jesus doesn't make more use of his heavenly power, why our Heavenly Father doesn't make more use of his power to become tangibly present to us. Why doesn't he just write your name in the sky and say, "Believe in Jesus, signed Heavenly Father, signed Holy Spirit"? It was interesting. C.S. Lewis wrote about this because people were asking him this question. Why doesn't God make more use of his power to be tangibly present to his creatures, to us? And what Lewis wrote, again, is it is about by faith. But if Jesus actually used his power to be tangibly present to him, to you, number one, it wouldn't be by faith. But number two, it wouldn't be a choice anymore. If the Lord wrote your name in the sky, or if he appeared to you, you would believe in him, love him, and trust in him based on just raw, unmitigated fear. That's not what he wants. He doesn't want a robot. He doesn't want to just completely overwhelm you and manipulate you. He's given you his word. He's given you his creation. He sent Jesus, who is a historical figure. All these things are undeniable facts that you read them, that Jesus loved you so much. He entered this world to rescue you, to save you. To save means to be rescued, and we need to be rescued from an eternity in hell, which is where every believer will go based on the scriptures if they refuse Jesus, because now they have to satisfy their own sin debt. Every human being has a debt to our Heavenly Father, and that debt has to be satisfied. The debt can either be satisfied at the cross by Jesus. When you trust in Jesus, believe that he lived for you, died on the cross for you, and rose again, all of your sin, past, present, and future, the Bible says, is credited to Jesus at the cross. He pays your sin debt before you. He pays your sin debt for you. And not only that, the perfect righteous life that he lived when he walked the earth is credited to you. It's credited to your account as if you lived it. You didn't live it, but it's credited to you as if you did live it. That incredible exchange, all of my sin, past, present, and future, for the perfect righteous life that Jesus lived, that exchange is the heart of the gospel, of the Christian gospel. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, again, we believe that by faith. We believe that we were desperate, wicked sinners and that Jesus loved us so much that he willingly entered this world for us. He left heaven and entered this world to us. We believe that by faith, right? That's why, you know, Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. Again, Ephesians 2, 89, for it is by grace you've been saved, meaning we didn't earn it. It's the unmerited favor of our Heavenly Father through faith. The instrument is believing this, believing the gospel, believing the good news that your God Jesus came and lived for you, died for you, and rose again. Believing what the Bible said is the bad news, that we are indeed sinners and in desperate need of a Savior. So thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, back to Hebrews 11. All right, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Verse 2, this is what the ancients were commended for. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So again, when you walk outside, when you look into the sky at night and you can see the universe, you can see stars and know that scientists tell us, that astronomers tell us that there are billions and billions of stars. The scripture says it's equal to the sand on the seashore. Imagine how many grains there are at the beach of sand. Billion, trillion. The stars are literally uncountable. We believe by faith that that was created by our Heavenly Father, that he spoke the universe into existence. Again, we believe that his word, that he is so powerful, he's all powerful, he's omnipotent, means he can do anything. There's nothing he can't do. Omnipotent, that he's omniscient, that he knows everything, right? This is each member of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each person knows everything. If you know everything, that means you can't learn anything because you already know it all. That's quite a deal, right? And omnipresent, everywhere at all times. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. Okay? So again, we believe there was no universe, there was nothing, and that our Heavenly Father created it, and this physical universe, and the earth, and the sun, and the moon, and the mountains, and the trees, all, bam, came into existence along with humanity and Adam and Eve. Wow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We believe that by faith. And we actually are blessed to have it in our Bible, right? Turn to Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and read the creation account. We believe that by faith. We've been given the manual. Again, this is why we study the Bible, is to build our faith, to grow in our faith, to refine our faith. Wow. This is what verse 2 says. This is what those who went before us, these men and women of God who faithfully walked with Jesus in the Old Testament. Verse 4, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. Again, he believed that God was there, and he believed that he would be blessed and that the Lord would be pleased with him if he offered the best of his flock, right? If he chose and gave a good quality sacrifice to the Lord. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man. He believed that it was right. He believed that, you know, that it was right to faithfully sacrifice to the Lord and offer these sacrifices. And when you make a sacrifice to the Lord, remember, the nature of a sacrifice is when it, you know, when you do something that costs you something, when you do something that, you know, that oftentimes you wouldn't want to do, when you do something that's hard, right? We ought to be sacrificial in the giving of our time, our talents, and our money, right? When we give in these things and when we're giving in a way that, you know, that we often have to make a sacrifice and not do other things or buy other things, you know, we're commended as that's what's right. Now, we're not saved by any of this, right? But when we do this, it shows that we are saved, right? One of the great evidences of salvation is that you have a heart to live for Jesus. One of the great evidences that Jesus is living in you by his Holy Spirit is that, you know, you're living and looking to live according to the scriptures because you know it's right, because you know it pleases Jesus, right? You're not saved by any of this again, but these are evidences that you are saved, that you are trusting in Jesus, that you have received spiritual life, that he is living in you. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. Listen to this. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he's dead. I mean, it's incredible. Like this incredible sacrifice that Abel made, you know, is still speaking, right? And he's alive and well and in heaven. He died physically. But again, he's alive, his spirit is alive, he's conscious, and he's in heaven, and he's still speaking, and his sacrifice is recorded in the Word of God, and has still been speaking for the last 6,000 years. By faith, he still speaks. Again, when you walk by faith, when you do anything by faith, what you do continues to speak, so to speak. Continues to speak, so to speak. Again, when you use your time, your talents, and your money to serve Jesus and to serve his people, it continues to bring encouragement and speak encouragement and blessing and to speak faith in the life of other people. Wow. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life. Because he lived for like 300 years looking to please Jesus, Jesus just took him out of the world. He didn't experience natural death. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. When we live by faith, when we live conscious of Jesus, when we do anything, again, when you get down on your knees and pray, you're doing that because it's conscious of Jesus. You know that you ought to have a devotional life to Jesus. When you give, okay, when you bless someone, when you're generous, when you read the Bible, when you listen to a teaching like this, literally anything you do in your life, because you're thinking it's of Jesus and it's his will and it's what the Bible says, you're doing that by faith and you're being pleasing to him just like Enoch was. Enoch was so pleased that Jesus just plucked him out. Just said, you know what? I'm going to bless you. I'm going to take you out of this world and take you into the perfection of heaven. For he was taken, for before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And look at verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We spent a lot of time on this verse this morning in Bible study. Very famous verse, right? Hebrews 11:6. You ought to have it memorized. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. He has set this whole thing up so that in this life, we have to walk by faith. We have to live by faith. We have to, by faith, we don't see Jesus with our natural eyes or hear him with our natural ears. I don't hear Jesus talking to me in my natural ears. That would not be faith, okay? This is why we want to take it with a grain of salt when someone says, the Lord said, the Lord said, the Lord said. Often I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, but I say it, I believe that the Holy Spirit told me. We ought to be very, very reticent to say, thus saith the Lord, unless it's in the Bible, okay? We know that the scripture is the word of God. It says so. The Holy Spirit inspired the word of God. So we can with confidence say that Jesus said, you know, Hebrews 11:1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We absolutely can say that because it says it in the scripture. But we ought to be very careful about saying, God told me, you know, the Lord said this to me, the Lord told me to tell you this, if it's not in the scriptures. Again, we ought to be very careful because without faith, it's impossible to please God, okay? And he's speaking to us now, for the most part, by faith. Now, there are people who are gifted and have a gifting as New Testament prophets, but again, it's something that ought to be exercised very, very carefully and humbly. Again, I myself, I don't believe I have that gift, you know, will not say, the Lord told me to do this or do this. Rarely will I ever say that. I want to humble myself and I say, I believe that the Lord told me to do this or that. I believe that by faith, the Holy Spirit was leading me to do this or that or say this or that, okay? Because again, he's speaking to us now by the Spirit of his Son and we believe that by faith. And without faith, verse 6, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So again, it's by faith we believe he's speaking to us. By faith we believe he's speaking to us by his word. By faith we believe that the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us. If you hear him in your natural ears, that would not be faith. If Jesus just speaks to you out of the air and you hear him, that's not by faith. So again, and again, most people who would claim to be a prophet would say they believe the Lord is speaking by their spirit. If they say they're hearing the Lord audibly, again, boom, you want to be reticent of this, okay? Don't just dismiss them, you know, just immediately. But again, if anyone ever says the Lord told them to do anything that's anywhere near, not in line with the word of God, or they're telling you to do something for them, again, you want to step back and, just take an inventory, okay? Because the Lord is almost entirely now speaking to us by faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please him, okay? He is pleased when we obey the scriptures by faith. But look at this. It is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must, number one, believe that he exists, okay? Again, it pleases him that you believe he exists. When you see creation, when you see the universe, when you see the stars, the sun, the moon, when you see trees, when you see the incredible makeup of your body, when you look at a satellite picture of the Earth from space, you ain't never been to space, right? Ever, right? How many people have ever been to space? 50, 100, 200? In the history of the billions and billions and billions of people, yet the rest of us somehow believe that picture is right. Again, when you see a picture, a satellite picture of the Earth from space, that big blue marble, right? As Hugh Cunningham used to say all the time, he was a good spiritual father to me when I was a young Christian. You believe it. Why do you believe it? You ain't never been there. You ain't never been from the place where that picture is taken. But you believe it. You believe that by faith, right? See where we're going? All right, you must believe that he exists and that he earnestly rewards those who seek him. When you use your time, talents, and money in service to Jesus, and you do it more and more, you are earnestly seeking him, earnestly obeying him, earnestly praying, earnestly reading your Bible, earnestly giving praise and thanksgiving and worship. He does reward you because the Bible teaches that. So again, begin today to more and more use your time, talents, and money by faith. Repent of any aspect of your life where you're not believing the scriptures, where you actually have had the nerve to come against what the Bible has said. Just earnestly repent. We've all said foolish things, believe foolish things. Just repent and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Lord, I do believe by faith what your word says. And by faith, we repent. It's by faith that we go before Jesus and say, I'm sorry, believing that he hears us. It's by faith that we believe in the fear of the Lord that our Heavenly Father disciplines us. Well, Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. We thank you that we get to do this. We thank you that by faith, Father, we get to study your word, and you've given us the privilege to teach your word, Father, and to share your word. Lord Jesus, by faith, we believe that you are who you say you are, the Son of God, God the Son. We believe that you came into this world, lived for us, died for us, and rose again. And by faith, we serve you and love you as our only Lord and Savior and Master and King. Holy Spirit, we ask you to lead us and guide us now. We ask you to help us to purify our faith, to refine our faith, and to grow in walking in faith in more and more and more ways, that we might be more pleasing to Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen and amen.